Welcome back to the Mel Kay Show. As everyone's watching what's going on in this country, yet again, another massive uprising has befallen the United States of America. And of course, I believe it's part of the controlled demolition of America from within. And I have found an amazing person out there who is looking into how are these happening? How are they? What's the organization? It can't be organic. And he's doing incredible work. And I'm really excited to welcome Michael Oxford to the show. Thank you for joining me, sir.
Oh, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Thank you. So I've been watching you go, and like everyone else out there, you know, every 3 months we have an uprising. We can go back to the beginning of Hands Up, Don't Shoot Forward. But this has been going on for a very long time. I always hearken back to the Weather Underground and say, you know, this isn't new. It's just it's new to some of us. So tell my audience a little bit about your background, and then we'll get into how you started to put together some of the pieces of this puzzle.
My name is Michael Oxford. I'm a canceled tradesman turned podcaster, and so I just that's sort of what I do now, is I go down rabbit holes and talk about stuff that I find.
Yeah, well, you do a great job at it. So, what struck you on the walking towards what is now a full blown peaceful protest movement kicking around the country on campuses and elsewhere?
Well, it just, you know, it looked and smelled just like the Black Lives Matter protests. I mean, these haven't gotten violent really yet, though, which is kind of encouraging. But, you know, you see this, it's the same bunch that are trying to rile people up. And during the Black Lives Matter protests, the George Floyd stuff during 2020, you were seeing, you know, a very uniform look. And you were seeing pallets of bricks showing up places. And that was the first thing that stood out to me was the Columbia University. I was like, wait, that's a bunch of pallets. And I don't know if that has anything to do with it. But did you see that?
And then the tents are all, you know, uniform, and the signs. These are things that you see after all of these things, that this is a lot of money going into this.
And I just ran for office. Failed run for office, and the signs, I had to purchase my own sign, so I totally noticed those. You see the sign itself, it's double, and I'm like, oh, those are double sided signs, those are more expensive, and they're on a stick, so you're like, those are like $8 a sign, and there's hundreds of them. So it's, yeah, and then all the food that shows up, it's like, who's paying for all this? And I just started talking about it a little bit, and people started sending me stuff. And apparently Rush Limbaugh has been talking about this for decades. Apparently he used to call them rent a crowd or something like that.
Exactly.
Yeah. And somebody sent me the one that was, well, the one I discovered last night was demand protests, but the other one was crowds on demand, or demand protests is the one I found. The second one that I found last night.
Right.
And I sent it to you. I don't know if you saw it.
Yeah, I did. So let's talk about a little bit of what you found. Crowds on demand and demand protest. What are these organizations, and what are, because when I go on these sites, I mean, it sounds like I said, I did some real deep dives into the Weather Underground, who are, I believe, Bernadine Dorn and Bill Ayers were the, you know, mentors in a way to Barack Obama and all of them, but, looks very similar, seems very similar. And a lot of the people from Weather Underground went into academia and other places as well. So when you're digging into this, what's the overall message on these sites and coming out of their messaging that they put out there to recruit people?
Well, these sites say that they'll work for anybody. They'll say, you know, they even said, like, the Crowds on Demand, it even says that they've done projects like energy projects where they even fought for gas and oil. So that's not a leftist cause, you know.
So they're for hire.
They're for hire, anybody. And that, I mean, so I'm just saying, so does that mean you'll work for the feds? That was my first thought. But you see, there's definitely left leaning. There's definitely, you know, the Crowds for Hire. Is that what it was called? Crowds for Hire? I can't even remember the name now, but on their,
I think it's Crowds on Demand or something.
Crowds on Demand. Right.
Right.
And on their website, when it has a bunch of different things that they'll do, and the link that shows protests, when you click on it, it shows a bunch of people doing the communist fist, and it's like, okay, I recognize this. And, you know, they all sort of have that sort of feel to them. And then, you know, that sent me down the rabbit hole of the Tides organization. Right. And yeah, so that's sort of just what I've been doing the last week is just, what the crap? There's so many of them, and you don't see any that have like a right leaning. And then it makes, I did a whole episode on it about, it sort of culminated in the January 6th stuff. I'm like, okay, we know J6 was infiltrated by feds. We know J6 was, and we see the pictures of people changing in the bushes kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then the one dude, I can't remember his name, Michael something, that was right there when Ashley Babbitt got shot. He's like a known, BLM.
Sullivan.
Michael Sullivan. Yeah.
Sullivan.
So
yeah,
he infiltrated that group. So we know that there's people that infiltrated that group just by, the obvious stuff. But then you really start digging into it and it's like, oh, okay. So there's the people that will, they'll get hired to do protests to push a cause. But then my whole thought is, okay, what about protesters that are hired to infiltrate the cause and try to make them look bad, paint them in a bad light?
Right.
And that was sort of my first thought with all this stuff.
Yeah. And I mean, it has to be at this point. I was just with people last night that have seen a lot of footage that hasn't been out there about January 6th. That is like what you're saying, but like a whole group of people all together, 20 people running to the back of the building together, coming back out with MAGA clothes on, so it's all of this stuff. But again, it requires a lot of money. And I've pointed at Tides many, many times. Tides is one of the biggest funders of all of these kind of woke Marxist, behavior modification, but the bigger picture for them is also control. They have situations where they fund things that also then shame and really destroy other people's lives. So what were you finding when you were looking in Tides about what they are, their structure? Because this is similar to Arabella Partners and some of the other groups where people donate money to them and that's it. And then they decide where the money goes.
Right. And they act as like a shield for people that want to contribute to these sort of causes. And they also provide like legal stuff for these people. And one thing I saw at the Tides organization is they will provide legal representation for illegal immigrants that have come here. So that it's a whole rabbit hole. The Tides organization is shady. Is super shady. And, everybody always blames Soros, which, the Open Society Foundation, they're funding all sorts of stuff, but he's not the only one. There's tons of, far left rich activists that really want to steer the narrative in one direction and stomp out any sort of, resistance to that narrative as well. Censor people.
Right.
There's heavy censoring campaigns, trying to, that's one of the things that, the demand protest group was talking about that they offer. It might've been Crowds on Demand, that they will have phone campaigns where they'll call congressmen or, organizations demand content gets taken down or demand they vote a certain way on a bill. And it's like, you're not even in that district. It's,
Yeah, that's what I heard. We had on we met her too. Bridget Gabriel runs Act for America, and she said that Republicans or conservatives or even libertarians, these people don't call. But on the left, not only do they call, but they call in mass. It's a whole campaign, and that she said that if a congressperson or a senator gets say 500 calls about one topic and it's all in one direction and the people are saying that they're constituents and they're saying this and that will sway them and it will sway them to think that all of their constituents think that. And oftentimes these are Democrat operatives that are calling as if they are calling the Republican senator or candidate or whatever, and that's a whole another thing, and that these people that they don't the people that get the calls for, obviously it's not the senator or the congressperson or the governor that picks up the phone, but that these people log them as constituents. And then that's a lot of stuff that goes through is because they believe that 500 constituents called them and demanded that they vote for or against something. It's totally unbelievable.
It's not organic at all. And it really makes you look at everything else through that sort of lens too. When people start getting dogpiled on Twitter and it seems completely inorganic, you're like, wait a minute. And it's all, there's always like a common theme with these bot accounts. Well, they're real, people call them bot accounts, but they're real people behind this account. And it's the same sort of thing. You'll see an account that's from 2012 right. that has 130 followers. It's an anonymous picture, an anonymous name. And you'll see, you go through their replies and their posts and stuff, and all they're doing is replying to people on the right or libertarians. And it's just, you notice a pattern, and then, you know, it sort of makes you look through the whole Patriot Front group in that lens. You know, it's like, why are you guys all showing up in U-Haul trucks, and why are you all uniform and making these weird videos that leaked,
right,
you know,
right, exactly.
It's just, it makes you look at everything, like how much stuff that we see is really just a propaganda campaign. And is the country really that divided? You know?
I say that all the time. I always say, I think left of center, probably 15%, right of center, 15%, thinks the whole thing's corrupt and not working, and really actually agree on almost everything except for, you know, one or two issues that really shouldn't be deciding everything. We should really be deciding on freedom and liberty and transparency and accountability and responsibility. And I feel like the majority does agree on that. But as you and I both know, the media, the politicians, the social media is an operation. There's a whole document I talk about on the show. I have on my website, on my resource page. It's called The Battle for the Brain, Cognitive Warfare, a NATO document that is absolutely terrifying. And you read this document and it's coming, like you're saying, it's coming from somewhere else, but they are real people. So you can't necessarily say, well, it's just bots or whatever. They're recruited people, but it is a psychological warfare campaign to break people down or to destroy reputations or to destroy dissent or just to muddy the waters at all. So when right. you're digging into this and you're reading into what their documentation and everything, what is the goal? Is it to overthrow and a communist takeover? Is it a globalist? Like, well, what are you getting from the language?
Man, that's a loaded question. So this sent me down the UN Agenda 2030 rabbit hole. Right, and if you go to their website and... It's insane because there's those waters are pretty muddied and you sort of have to sift through stuff to find it. But they have this, I think it's like a 67 bullet point thing of what the UN right. wants to do. And then you couple that with the World Economic Forum stuff. And I mean, I don't want to get too tinfoily, but it really does. Like, these are the people that think that, like, the super rich global elites that all seem to be in lockstep with thinking the biggest problem the world faces today is there's too many people.
Right.
And then they talk about how we need to reduce concrete production. We need to reduce air travel. We need to, you know, and then all the stuff that's happening with the farmers, how they're being told to dump milk down the drain and coal their cattle. And it's like, are you guys intentionally trying to create supply chain disruptions? And you know where this ultimately ends. I mean, this ends in like famines. We've seen this before. And so I don't want to, I do speculate all the time. I know what I think's going on, but I just don't want to sound like
you can speculate on my show. That's what I got kicked off of YouTube 4 years ago and I never went back because I said, forget it. I'm just going to tell the truth no matter what. And what you're saying is very important because it's also good to have people out there that are watching that realize that, you know what you said, the one thing that's most important is that you went and looked at their documents because they can say that it's a conspiracy theory as far as they can do it. But if you go look on weforum.org or you look on UNR Common Agenda or you go look and decipher what they're actually saying about the 17 development goals, it's not made up. They tell you.
Yes. It's insane. And then you'll go read their documents and then you'll see like a dogpiling campaign saying you're a conspiracy theorist. And it's like, wait a minute. This doesn't seem organic. It's insane. James Lindsay does a great job covering this stuff. And yeah, it's almost like ignorance really is bliss. Like the more I go down this rabbit hole, the more this is why I trail run. I live in the Santa Cruz Mountains. I'm surrounded by redwoods, you know, and it's like every now and then it's like, okay, shut the computer. I need to go hit the, you know, it's just, the stuff really is blackpilling. And when you realize how much money is behind it, the amount of powerful people that are behind this central goal that it seems of totalitarianism is, right. I mean, if you want to sum it up into one thing, totalitarianism and it seems depopulation.
Yeah.
Like utter control of everyone. And they're also, they got a bunch of the, like, Ural Haraldi. How do you say his name?
No, he's a big topic on the show. Noah Harari.
He's a freaking transhumanist. He's always saying the most off the wall, insane crap. And everybody's just like,
I know.
Like, no.
We always laugh. We're like, 3,000 people are giving him a standing ovation. Meanwhile, Leonardo DiCaprio and John Kerry are in the front row and Joe Biden, while he's saying there's no more free will. There's every God's a myth. And they're like, yay. And his book's number one all over the world. And this can't be, but it's what you're saying. This can't be organic. It's not possible that the majority of people on planet Earth agree with this stuff. And that's the scariest part. Now, one thing about digging into Agenda 2030 and the 17 development goals, I always say to people is, who's going to be running it? Like, they never say, they say all these crazy things. The one that's very disturbing to me is number 16 is about universal. Everyone deserves an ID from birth to death. Of course, it should be a global interoperable ID that's on some kind of blockchain. But then the other side of that is, well, who's on the other end of that? And that's like where Harari comes in. He's like, oh, it's all going to be run by algorithms. So when you talk about totalitarianism, then it's technocracy also. But that also includes that the technology is caught up. So what they're really, people have to understand, when the way you're talking about it is how people need to look at it, which is, you can't not see it if you just go look at what they're saying.
Right. And it's sort of like we're not even really speculating at this point, because it's, if you just follow the trail that they're leading to and what the exact things they're saying, the points they're making, what they want to do. And you're like, well, wait a minute. If you do that, that means there's going to be not enough food. People aren't going to be able to travel. Infrastructure is going to start crumbling and you're going to have control of everything.
Is that sort of what you got? Social credit score and every track and trace surveillance of our biometrics inside, outside. It's the internet of body, internet of things. And if you don't participate in getting your global ID and global wallet, you're excluded from society.
Well, and a lot of people don't really, they hear the social credit score thing and they don't really associate it with their money. And this is, and actually, to be quite frank, Elon sort of scares me on this, because he wants to make X the everything app. And they are talking about these like tokens, where if everything's digital, if all your money's digital and you're given like universal basic income or whatever, or they're not doing the central bank token, they're doing it through the private banks, but the banks can turn off your money.
Right.
Or even worse, say you only have this allotment for meat. You can only spend this much of you may have $1,000, but you can only spend $20 on meat, where you can spend $500 on the center aisles with the Krispy Kreme donuts and the super processed stuff. And you can buy as much alcohol as you want. Like, that's the thing too. It seems that then there's this whole promotion of degeneracy, and they want you to be fat, degenerate, stupid, lazy, and just, it's all forms of control. The things that are being promoted right now, it's like, is it any wonder why everybody is confused about what gender they are, sex that they are? They're, everybody's overweight, out of shape, and nobody wants to read books anymore. Yeah.
I also think a part of it, and this goes to what you uncovered with Crowds on Demand and all of this stuff, is I believe that the whole, I call them the parent company that runs planet Earth, the people that are really pushing for Agenda 2030. I think that's a consolidation of wealth, as well as power, as well as military, as well as all of it, to consolidate it and then to control it by technology. And that is terrifying enough. But the thing that is scariest is the cognitive warfare that we are led to believe, because of these crowds on demand and the piling up on Twitter and all of this stuff and the amplified voices on Twitter, because there's a lot of people on Twitter that have hundreds of thousands of followers, even millions of followers, that put out information that's 20% real and then 80% speculation or totally fake, but yet they're promoted and they come up in everyone's feeds. So the thing is, the illusion that they're winning. And like, it's order out of chaos from like Aleister Crowley, like order out of chaos. They're creating as much chaos on all fronts as possible, which is what I think you also are saying. So people can't think, so people can't see it. That's what it seems like to me. And the crowd, when you watch the crowds, you think, well, that's the majority. And people that are followers or that are demoralized, dehumanized, will look at the crowds and think, well, that's what the majority thinks. And if they think that, then they're less likely to ever question or stand up against it. That's what it seems like. I don't know. Are you getting that?
Yeah, I'm getting that. And I'm also getting a whole like Plato's cave type thing where people are like, oh, la, 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 I don't want to look uncomfortable in my views. And what you're saying earlier about how everybody does seem to kind of agree on stuff, liberty, freedom of speech, yeah, anti-war, you know, all that stuff when you really get down to it. But people don't want to talk about it because they're like, oh, wait, hold on. You're talking about taboo subjects. And people get really uncomfortable. And it's like, hold on, dude, like, don't freak out. You're not on Twitter. This is real life. You know, right, don't worry about people dogpiling you. But I did see, I do feel like the tide is turning. You know, Owen Schroyer?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So he went to the Columbia protest the other day. I believe it was Columbia. It might have been another university, but I'm pretty sure it was Columbia. And he was out there talking with all of the kids. And you go back to like 2015, 2016 on the campuses when Milo Yiannopoulos was visiting and stuff, oh, yeah, and people were getting maced and it was turning super violent. Nobody was listening to anybody. It was just warfare. Right. Owen Schroyer goes there and he's like, hey, guys. My position is I don't think we should be funding any of these wars. I'm kind of with you on the Gaza thing. And their kids are just like, okay, let's talk. And they're having open dialogue back and forth. It was like Owen's there talking to the mask wearing blue haired kids with the piercings and they're having open dialogue. And that's highly encouraging to me. And I think a lot of the it's really easy to make fun of these kids that are going out there wearing the masks. And, you know, they're obviously super liberal. It's like, well, I'm from California, kind of who wasn't idealistic and kind of dumb when you were a kid and in college and you recognize like, holy crap, everything is super screwed up, but I don't know why. And I don't know who to blame. And this person's telling me this is who I should blame. So I think we have a huge opportunity here right now to recognize that, yeah, stuff screwed up. And it's basically because our government is subjugating you.
Right.
And when you're cheering for more government, That's not the solution. You should be cheering for liberty. And that, and Owen Schroyer going there and talking about like, yeah, we don't want our tax dollars funding this war in Gaza. We don't want our tax dollars funding this war in Ukraine. It's like, if you guys want to fight, have at it. Don't use our weapons. Don't use our money. Right. And I mean, I don't know your stance on the whole Israel-Palestine war. I actually side with, like, I don't like what Israel's doing. I personally don't.
I don't like what's going on. But my real feeling, though, about all of the wars right now is that it is still the people behind Agenda 2030 that are funding both sides of everything because they want order out of chaos. And if they can have us divided, you know, it's a very easy thing to throw fire, like, you know, gas on that fire. I just feel like, because I've been watching Agenda 2030 since it was Agenda 21, and I feel like the people that, because to me, when I really dig into this, what I see is that there is a 0.0001% super, they consider themselves super class, and it's worldwide. It's not like, it's hard to explain to people when people, you looked at the documents. I look at the documents. Most people don't. So they are led to believe that there cannot possibly be, my friend Charlie Robinson wrote a book called The Octopus of Global Control with all the tentacles that he lays out. Once you know that this is really, that these are all aligned, that each one of those UN agencies has one piece of this puzzle that they kind of push forward all together. And then they have the NGOs and the multinational corporations and then the banks above them. And you realize that they have kind of, like Klaus Schwab says himself, infiltrated all of our governments to this end goal, which is the total consolidation of power. And unlike Mao's China or Hitler's Germany or whatever, this group of this iteration, this Agenda 2030, has people from all countries. So to me, when I try to follow the money, which is what I do the most on my show, is I'm telling you that there are people from China, from Russia, from Iran, but also from America, India, you know, the UK, Afghanistan, that are in this group that travel to these conferences that are all connected to Agenda 2030 and implementing it on all different fronts, be it environmental, climate change, financial. But it's all the same people showing up, obviously, in their planes and everything. So to me, what I think they're doing, even with the war in Israel and Ukraine and probably soon to be Taiwan, is this same group funding both sides is throwing fire wherever they can to create as much chaos so that we all just say, just make it stop. Just make it stop. We'll go into Agenda 2030. We'll get our digital IDs. Fine. That's what I think it is. I think it's like they're creating the problems so that they also come in with the solution and we say, fine. That's my fear, is that too many Americans, because the other thing about Agenda 2030 is they cannot achieve it without America. And I feel like our goal right now, which is why I love the work you're doing, is to tell Americans, this isn't left or right. It's not Republican and Democrat. It really is the last stand for freedom, liberty, and privacy, which we've lost already, and we can only take it back. But if we do keep marching into that and go into their global public infrastructure, we're letting down the whole world, not just America, in my opinion. What's your thoughts on
yes.
that?
Oh, so much. First, we penetrate the cabinets, right? Exactly. There's so much there. So the America part, why they have to have America, if America falls, the world falls. And that's why I think they hate Trump so much. Yeah. You know, I have tons of complaints about Trump. You know, like, I am one of the most outspoken people about the bad things that Trump did, you know, especially how he didn't pardon Assange, didn't pardon Snowden, the ongoing war in Yemen, letting Fauci run roughshod, all that stuff. But he is America first.
Yeah.
And that's a problem for this, for the globalists.
Right.
That is a huge problem for Trump being like, no, F you, America first. It's like, okay, I kind of like this guy. You know, that's a huge problem for them. And then you know that leaked audio that came out of Jonathan Greenblatt a few months ago? Where he's talking about, this isn't a left issue, this isn't a right issue, it's a young and old issue, and we need to essentially control the narrative.
Right.
And then what happens? Just like a few weeks after that audio comes out, you get the TikTok bill banned. And who introduces that bill? Mike Gallagher. Right. Who's Mike Gallagher get a ton of funding from? AIPAC.
Yeah.
And what happens after the bill gets pushed forward and it's rolling along?
Yeah.
Mike Gallagher says, I'm leaving you guys. I'm leaving after the date where you can't replace me. And I'm going to Palantir. Like, what the heck?
Audience, what that is, because some people might not get that how transparently corrupt this entire process has been. So tell my audience what Palantir is. They know before, but I mean, it's crazy. This is.
So yeah, Palantir is like, it's like a global surveillance privatized, run by Peter Thiel. Right. And, you know, and then also to tie it in, Steve Mnuchin's talking about, we're not banning TikTok. We kind of just want to buy it. So I'm putting together a group of people to buy TikTok. I'm not going to tell you who those people are. And it's like, I wonder if Peter Thiel's going to be involved with this.
Right.
It's a whole circle of controlling the narrative. And that bill is written so broadly that,
no.
If you have any foreign influence, we can ban you, basically. It's like, okay. And then at the same time, Australia is trying to say, you have to censor this stuff. And it's like, well, aren't you a foreign government trying to influence that? So it's this whole doublespeak thing, too, that they do. But right. This TikTok ban bill is written so broadly that they can easily come after X for this.
100%. That's who it's about. And the other thing that you're saying that's so important, and this is why I also look at Palantir and other companies just like them, is it's also about data. You know, I've been saying, because I think the Patriot Act is the most unconstitutional thing that ever happened in America. And the intelligence blob that came out of it, DHS, TSA, DNI, the whole NSA thing that Snowden did tell us about and is freaking out about people being so stupid still. And then you put in, then they have their wing at the Obama holder started the National Security Division of the DOJ to be in cahoots with them. Well, that whole blob that came out of the Patriot Act has no oversight. I firmly believe that intelligence blob is watching everyone in the three branches of government and has captured it somehow, and they're not working for, on our behalf. But the biggest thing is that I've only agreed to and agreed to because I didn't know I couldn't, I could not agree to it. But it's to participate in society. Birth certificate, social security card, and a license to drive. Everything else is none of their business. And yet people don't realize that our data is completely one way or another surveilled. Because what you just brought up too is really important. Not only does the NSA, and I think Snowden did us a great favor, but people still don't understand what he told us. And since then, the NSA has a relationship with all the Five Eyes nations, and they're all, at this point, if they can't spy on us legally, they're going to spy on us, get them to do it. And then at the same time, they all have contracts with the Department of Defense, but also DHS, FBI, all of them with big tech. So we're at a place where when you look at the TikTok bill, all I see is full data control. If they, it's all about the data. It's still about surveillance. And anyone that they cannot control, they're going to shut down. And so, you know, I don't know if you saw ByteDance said that they'd rather close down the app in America. Let me tell you something. All those kids that TikTok is their life, talk about craziness. But that TikTok bill, I think that's about data, the continuing down the surveillance state and data collection. So why aren't they going after then all the people they have contracts with, like Facebook and Meta and Google and all these other people that are doing the exact same thing with data?
Because they're already captured.
We are right now in $34 trillion worth of debt. We have geopolitical chaos everywhere. The central bank digital currency is looming. The BRICS nations have expanded beyond Saudi Arabia and continue to expand. And all I know is that many experts keep telling me that gold and silver is the best way to hedge against inflation and to protect your savings going forward. Did you know you can convert your 401k and IRA into physical gold and silver today? It can be shipped direct to your door or stored in a secure location. So go to our partners page at themelkshow.com, fill out the form, and someone from Beverly Hills Precious Metals will get in touch with you right away to help you figure out the best course for you and your family ahead. Stay secure, stay safe, and prepare now. Right.
Yeah, you can't tell where Google ends and the CIA begins.
No.
You know, like you look, and people think I'm crazy when I say that. It's like, no, look at the board of directors. There's like nine people that are all former CIA. You talk to anybody from the CIA, which unfortunately I have talked to several people from the CIA now. Right. They will all tell you, no, once you're CIA for life. Like you're never retired CIA, you know? And that's why I'm very skeptical of Mike Baker when he goes on Joe Rogan. I'm like, oh boy, you know?
Hard to tell.
Yeah. And CIA people look just like you and me. They just look like normal people. And a lot of times those CIA people are just as propagandized as anybody else too, just because they've been, you know, beaten into submission, fed only one narrative. When I was running for office, I met a dude that claimed to be CIA. Well, I went to this local bar here called Henflings, which is the Hell's Angels bar, but well, it used to be anyway. And I just started going around saying, I need signatures. You know, I was trying to get signatures, total grassroots thing. Right. And one of the guys starts questioning me about, you know, like what my thing is. And I started complaining, saying what my actual complaints about Trump are, even though I vote for Trump, I support him, but I do have some legitimate complaints about him. And I told him one of the things was that he didn't pardon Snowden and Assange. And he's like, well, Snowden should be in prison. He put assets, lives in danger. Right. I'm like, how did he put, and he couldn't explain it.
Yeah, I had the same situation with somebody very high up in intelligence that told me, I said, well, he should have pardoned Snowden and Assange. And they said, Snowden's a criminal. I said,
right.
Yeah. I go, well, for me, in what I do, which is trying to make sure that the American people understand that once we lose liberty, freedom, and privacy for real, it's gone forever. Because my whole thing is I was obsessed with this woman, Hannah Arendt, who wrote Origins of Totalitarianism. And as we were slipping into the plandemic, I was like, oh my God, because I wrote a screenplay. That's what I used to do. And I wrote a screenplay on Eichmann in Jerusalem and really dug into Germany in the 30s and 40s. And I saw a lot of parallels and I'm thinking, this doesn't seem, what is going on here? And then once you get started, as you know, you're just like, what in the world? And then once you understand totalitarianism is there's no way out. And especially with this technology and then having big tech embed, we got to rip it all apart. You said something earlier, I think is really important here too, which is
that's what they want.
right,
to rip it all apart.
No, we got to pull apart the intelligence apparatus. I think that, not the government. The government, and that's debatable too, because it's a disaster. I personally think that we should really limit the federal government in D.C. and everything that's unconstitutional from 10th Amendment and other opportunities, pull it out and put it back in the states. I mean, that is what I think we could possibly do. But the whole thing needs a rework, but not the socialist rework that they want. I think that we do need what you said before, which is open dialogue and conversation, because I don't think we're that far apart. I think that it's the illusion. And that's why when I saw what you were doing with Crowds on Demand, I thought the people have to understand that what they're seeing is to make them feel like, well, the majority thinks that. And I think the majority is a psychological demoralization campaign that's not real.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, you said order from chaos earlier, and I think that's really hitting the nail on the head, because that's exactly what George Soros explains in his books. Then, you know, he made his money from shorting markets and then doing everything he can to collapse those markets. Well, it looks like he wants to short America, and it looks like the Open Society Foundation is doing everything they can to collapse America. And he's not, like, the thing is, Soros isn't a Marxist. He's okay with capital. But he doesn't want to have complete control over what the new world looks like, but he wants it to happen. He wants it to be spontaneous. And his whole idea is we basically need to collapse the whole thing and then have a new system rise. And it's like a global system. Yeah. It's terrifying. And it gets so far away. There's a reason everybody wanted to come to America for the longest time, and why we were, you know, an industrial powerhouse. It's competition, free markets, liberty, the freedom to say things, and all of that is under attack, and it's terrifying.
And the other thing you just said, also, there's also something here, like before they're trying to put in DEI and all this, which I think is bad for everyone. I don't think that's, but the whole merit-based thing, encouraging entrepreneurship, encouraging creativity, because you brought up before that one of the goals is UBI, universal basic income. That's not only giving the government total control over your life, because they control your money, your food, everything, if all your money's coming from them, and it's on a blockchain, of course. But the other thing is that it kills creativity. It kills entrepreneurship. It kills, imagining new things, critical thinking, all this stuff goes out the window with it. And that's the other part of watching what's going on at the campuses and what you said about Owen and other people that have gotten on the ground footage of people, students being like, I don't know what I'm here. I can't just define that. And the other thing I wonder your take on, because this is the big thing about these lunatics on the other side. I think that they work for a parent company that's running America. I really think that the left, that lawfare people that are persecuting Trump and all the lawyers and changing all the laws to be totally vague and crazy, including the TikTok bill. But then the other ones, this intelligent blob that I think is also unconstitutional that came out of the Patriot Act, they're not working for we the people. They're not working under the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. I personally believe that every single person in all three branches is also captured, just like we are, and that they're really working towards this end goal of I call it the controlled demolition of America, because, like I said, America is in the way, because if we don't walk, because I think it's in our DNA to fight bullies, to you know, stand up for freedom, for what's right and all of that. And that's a big problem for these people that are actually and if you follow the money, you're going to find that it's funded by, you know, Larry Fink and BlackRock. I don't know why they have that kind of power. But the other part, and you said this before, I don't know how lobbying, why aren't people making lobbying illegal? It should be it's totally legalized bribery. So when you look at like the power of the people that you and I both believe in, there are very specific things that you've identified that I can identify that are usurping the power to the people. And yet it continues. So what in your mind, because you did run for office because you believed in this, and you and I both know they don't want anyone in office on any level, from school board to city council to governor to senator to congressman, that's ever going to question the status quo or ever open the books. So for you, what do you say to people that right now they could do? Because I agree with you. I think as much as they're as close as they've ever been to this one world plan, they're also as far as they've ever been because of people like you and me and other people online that are like telling people, and there's hundreds of millions of people worldwide that are onto it. So you know, people going into 2024, they might hate Trump, whatever. I say, you know what? It's throwing sand in the gears of the global governance model that obviously Biden's in on. But what are you telling people about going forward? Because a lot of people are like, why would I vote? There's no reason to vote. I get that you say that, but we have the system right now and there are big stakes.
Well, I mean, I'm a little black-pilled with the voting thing too, but it doesn't mean you shouldn't vote. But in terms of what people could do, I mean, everybody that gets black-pilled, like, oh, like kind of like because of all the stuff that we're talking about, are sort of, it freaks them out. And they're like, we need this big thing to happen. And it's like, no, not really. Like, you as an individual must do everything you can to figure out what's going on. Look into stuff. And then the second thing is stop being bullied. Stop being scared of getting canceled. Stop being, you know, I always talk about how around here in California, leftists can be as openly leftist as they want at the workplace. They could talk about how they're an advocate or they're a protester or whatever. They can, you know, talk anti-Trump stuff all the time. Right. As soon as somebody on the right comes and says, no, I'm more liberty-minded and I actually support Trump, and it's like, oh, then all of a sudden everybody starts colluding to fire you. That's a problem.
Yeah.
And it always seems to be the gatekeepers at the tops of companies that are in this lockstep cult mentality, leftist cult mentality. And if more people just started, can I curse on this show?
Yeah, sure. We're a free speech platform here at the Mel Kay Show.
So my unofficial campaign slogan was fuck you know. And if more people just started saying fuck you know,
I agree.
Then it just, no, I'm not going along with this. No, I don't think, no, I'm not taking the vaccine. No, I'm not wearing a mask.
Right.
Just start saying no. Start sticking up for yourself. For no, I'm not doing the universal, I'm not doing the digital ID. I'm not, like, we have the real ID here in California.
Oh, right.
You know,
that's it. I'm that's not also doing the Bill real... Gates and the Rockefeller. If you follow it, that's the same money as the globalists.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're incrementally pushing everybody into this system.
Right.
And I mean, I'm guilty because I'm using Twitter as like X as my giant platform, even though, you know, it's painted as this free speech thing. I think there's very nefarious things going on with it.
Speech. But I never got reinstated. I had a big account. A lot of people did. I didn't, because I talk about what we're talking about. So get ready. But also on the other side, I have to tell you, I grow and then I lose. I grow. And since I restarted, well, a year ago, but there's also something on there. Like I told you, there are people, I see them, and they're so-called influencers on both sides, but definitely on the right, that say a whole lot of nothing, but they've got hundreds of thousands of followers. They come up in everyone's feed. They're not telling the people the truth. They're not talking about the global governance. They're not talking about this, that Biden-Harris committed to finishing Agenda 2030 for Obama from 2025 to 2030. That there's a whole document on the White House website, Harris-Biden commitment to global goals. And the first line says that they're halfway to Agenda 2030 and that they will complete it by 2030. And then they list all the 17 development goals. For anyone that's watching, this is still in the White House. September 2023, Biden-Harris commitment to global goals. And it's a whole, they list every one of the 17 development goals. And then what they're talking about in there is like trillions of dollars going to all globalist funds to achieve these. Right. And I keep saying to people, no, you have to look at what they're actually saying, which is why I love what you do too. And but I believe that, like you said, we just have to keep having the conversations. This is why when I found you online, I'm like, you got to come on, because we have to keep opening the tent to anyone that wants to stand for liberty and freedom and believes that, you know, we have a structured framework. If we were enforcing it, we have law and order. If we were enforcing it, we also have the ability to dismantle what isn't working in the same document, especially with the 10th Amendment, because the EPA decision could be used in many of these places. I saw Massey put up a bill to get rid of the Department of Education. I'm all for that. Lee put in a bill to get out of the UN. Another, like the four people that are still working for the people in us. Yes. Somebody else put up a bill to dismantle this Federal Reserve. All this stuff is America first. So going forward, I'm on the same page as you. So what are you thinking going forward in terms of what's your message to the people out there? Because you guys, you know, very few people will do what you did, which is run for office knowing that you're walking into a gladiator ring where the right is just as bad as the left because they're in it together to keep the contracts and everything going. So what do you say to people out there that are kind of like demoralized? I mean, you've seen the Bezmenov interview. Everyone probably has at this point, where he's Russian agent that defected, and he said, no, this is a plan. It's demoralization, dehumanization, crisis, normalization. And we are way into that plan. So like you said, it's up to us, the individual citizen. So before I let you go and tell everyone where you are, just a recap on the end of this and kind of, you know, where you're headed forward in fighting this battle, where you're looking now, because your work's really getting a lot of traction and it's important.
Yeah, just like any campaign, grassroots, word of mouth, talk about stuff like that. What's the best way to fight? Talk about stuff at the dinner table, make people uncomfortable. I always go back to the Plato's cave thing. Don't worry about causing conflict. Like, if you want to stop going along with the plan, well, you're going to have to make people slightly uncomfortable, because other people are going along with the plan. And if everybody speaks up just like 10% more, well, that could just be the difference right there. So be as informed as you can and talk about stuff. And when you hear people say crazy, off the wall, globalist stuff, just because that's what's been implanted in their brain, correct them nicely. Don't like try to get in fights and stuff, but talk to people. And don't hate the leftists, especially the young college idealistic ones. We were all young, dumb, and idealistic at some point. Yeah. Identify, like, look, we are both identifying the same problem. I think we have a non-governmental solution towards it.
Yeah, me too. It's so funny that you say that, because I actually went to NYU and I'm watching these kids. And in my head, I hate to say it, but I'm thinking, if I was 19 and walking through Washington Square Park and everyone's like partying and drinking, but it's for this cause, maybe I would be that girl that was like, I don't know what they're doing, but, you know,
you're missing out.
But I'm 19. And then, you know, somebody handed me a beer and we're just hanging out. And it looks one way, like you said, these crowds are created. But, you know, not everyone there is probably even know there. We really do have to look at it in terms of, you know, these kids, they are one way, but, you know, it doesn't mean that they're all. I just think that it's like you said, and this is why I like what you're doing, is that it's not organic. And I agree with you. I fully believe that left of center 20%, right of center 20%, and a big chunk of libertarians probably all agree on a lot of way more things than we disagree. So thank you so much, Michael. I'm enjoying your work and I wanted my audience to know about you and to follow you. So can you tell them to find you and follow you?
Yeah, you can watch the Cali-based podcast over on Rumble, and you can find me on Twitter, SC Mountain Goat.
I love it. Okay, and I love your story, how when it gets too much, you go trail running. Because I tell everyone, you know what? First and foremost, take care of yourself, your peace of mind, your mental health, and get out in nature. It's so important.
Completely.
Thank you so much, sir. We'll see you again. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Michael. He's awesome. I hope you will follow him, but also take heed. You know, we have three things: our money, our time, and our vote. And we have to make sure right now that we're putting it all towards liberty and freedom and decentralizing and taking care of ourselves and our family and our peace of mind and all of the things that matter. So please do go to the Mel Kay Show partners page and check out a bunch of our partners. We're always looking for solutions and ways to help you, help yourself, and help your family. So the MelKayShow.com partners page, we've started a whole campaign on setmefreeplease.com/MelKay for ways to spend your money in places that are not providing the globalists more ability and control and walking us towards what we were talking about on the show. We also have a lot of solutions for health and wellness coming up, including the wellness company Contagion Kit and many other kits that they have, which I've been sending to a lot of people, including especially adult children and parents that are out there that are elderly and might not have this this stuff already for whatever's coming ahead. And of course, our partners at Beverly Hills Precious Metals, they have helped us a lot. They have a lot of great options for you. And we just want you to protect yourselves, your family, your savings, and maintain peace of mind. As you know, I believe on the other side of what we're going through will be a far better, fairer world where left of center and right of center can meet again in the same place. Because as I believe that we are all pretty much way more alike and want way more of the same things than we're being led to believe. So go to the MelKayShow.com partners page. It also supports the show and independent journalism. And please do follow the people that I have on. I pick them specifically because I feel that they are empowering me and also empowering you with information and knowledge that you should have and know. So thank you so much, and we'll see you next time. Thank you for watching the show. You know, I'm always looking for solutions, and there's one thing that I stress all the time. We have three things that really, really count in this fight to save America: our time, our money, and our vote. Well, every time you spend your money at one of the big box stores or one of the multinational corporations, you are giving them money to fund the controlled demolition of America. They do it through foundations and other means to make sure that our country is divided and not strong and not united. So what you need to do is you need to find a better way to invest in America with your dollars. I have found a solution. If you go to the partners page at themelkayshow.com and click on Set Me Free, Please. Yes, go to the partners page at melkayshow.com. Click on Set Me Free, Please. It's time to make sure that your money is going towards saving America. It's going towards freedom and liberty and independence and away from centralization, control, and the multinational corporations that are running the public-private partnership that is destroying our country. So again, go to the partners page at themelkayshow.com, click on Set Me Free, Please, and get started today. Great news, guys. We've been beta testing with my founding members, the Mel Kay Show, live on Sunday nights at 7 p.m., and it is going incredibly well. We have a community that we all connect. We can share information. Questions are asked of me, of other people. We share back and forth. This is really a place to go on Sunday nights. Get ready for the week. Share what's working, what's not working, how we can make things better, how we can align with each other. Wherever you are in the country, there's many things you can do. So we've added locals now. So on Locals, you can also join us on Sunday nights, or you can join members.themelkayshowlive.com. The members at melkayshowlive.com is a community for you. That continues 24/7, 7 days a week. We put up many different things there, ideas, documentaries that are great. People tell what they're doing in their local community. They can reach out to other people all over the country. It's kind of has a cool Facebook vibe, but it's really about community, fellowship, helping each other, organizing, all of that. You can also just join Locals and join us on Sunday nights, where you can ask questions, interact with me. I'm going to have on some of my best guests. It's an incredible platform. It's just getting started. It's totally secure. And please join us Sundays at 7 p.m. Locals or members.themelkayshowlive.com. I will see you there. This is so much fun, and I'm so grateful. And now we have a totally secure community where we can all interact while we are fighting this battle for freedom and our future. See you there.